It's Wednesday, August the 2nd, and you're tuned in to the TIMB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. Here's a quick question for you, Anthony.
What?
So, you know the general saying how in the weeaboo community,
okay,
the manga is always better than the anime.
I've heard. The manga.
Yes.
I've heard the manga is much better than the
mangaka is better than
anime.
The Japanimation, yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you know where there is one exception that breaks this rule, and it is guaranteed to be the universal opinion by everyone?
No.
It is Initial D.
Is it really?
Do you know why?
Is it because you can watch the cars race?
No.
Is it because of the music?
Because the manga didn't include Eurobeat.
Oh, true. True. So, yeah, we got off of watching a bunch of Initial D memes.
Yes.
And those are fantastic.
They are. They are. But that aside, this week is a pretty low-key show.
Yeah.
So we're just going to hit it up with some stuff.
Wait, I got a question for you.
All
right. You know the general saying in anime, in the Japanimation, how the dub is always better than the sub.
Yeah.
Do you know the one case where it's not true?
Where the sub is better than
the sub is better than... Or no, sorry, the dub is better than the sub?
Where the dub is better than the sub? G Gundam.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's Initial D.
It's equally as bad, yeah, okay.
Because
sure.
I watched...
Alright.
Yeah, I watched Initial D, but I only watched it in dub. And then I tried to go to Japanese, and I was like, it's not the same.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Not the same.
It's not as corny?
No.
All right, cool. Let's see. Since we're on the topic of anime and whatnot
and cars,
let's talk about, I guess, hey, guess what's coming back? Or guess what actually does exist in the world of anime?
Is it finally a remastered G Gundam series?
No.
Then I give up.
Do you remember those movies by Studio Kara about the greatest, if not the single greatest, anime series ever to grace the television screens?
Nichijou?
No.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
No.
Dragon Ball Z?
No, it has a giant robot in it.
Gal Gaigar?
It has multiple giant robots and aliens and angels.
Power Rangers.
And the best protagonist known to me.
Oh, you mean the worst robot series. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Evangelion, yeah.
Yeah. Evangelion. Do you remember how they did the rebuild movies?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
We watched those movies when they were coming out, and I didn't mind them. They were fine. I liked them better than the anime.
Well, they were always planned to have 4 of them.
Yeah.
And I remember the first one came out in 2006?
Oh, I don't know. It came out a long time ago.
And then the third one, the most recent one, came out in 2013?
Yes.
It's been nearly 5 years since then.
Man, this animation budget must be through the roof.
And, hey, guess what? They finally teased that the fourth movie is still in development. And they have a poster out there. I took a look at the poster. It makes zero sense.
It's just Shinji and the gay piano man.
No, there's an actual poster.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
You want to know what the poster says?
What?
It says, after that.
Okay.
And the end. Not and anti.
Is not in brackets?
No, it's here. Read it.
After that, comma, and the end, all caps. Not, comma, and anti.
So the most artsy-fartsy thing about this poster is that they didn't call it Evangelion 4. What does it say, Anthony?
I don't... Evangelion colon 3.0 plus 1.0.
So what does that mean?
I don't...
Is that even 4, or is this we're gonna get 3 and bonus footage from 1?
Is this gonna be some Gunbuster shit where they play with time manipulation?
Maybe.
But instead of going forward, they're going to go back and it's going to loop back to 1?
I don't know. I'm really curious to see what this movie's about, because at this point they've gone beyond anything in the TV series.
Yeah.
If I remember in the end of the third one, like, it's the end, right? Like, they ended everything.
Oh, yeah. They ended a bunch of stuff. And also, like, a bunch of stuff happened that didn't happen in the show.
Yeah, so
right? So it's like this alternate timeline.
So whatever's happening in 4... Like, what is going on? I need to know. I need to see this one through.
You're a wizard, Shinji.
Yeah. Fun fact, did you know in the Super Robot Wars games, if you have Shinji,
yeah,
and you know how you could pair up your characters?
Yeah.
If you pair up Shinji with just a regular adult, responsible adult,
yeah,
he turns out to be normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's just like a normal dude.
He's not a whiny baby?
No, he's totally just like, what do you expect? If you put him with a responsible adult who's not abusive,
yeah,
he turns out just to be a normal dude.
Yeah, of course. The whole reason Shinji sucks is because his dad sucks.
Yeah,
but, right? But yeah. His dad's so cool.
Get in the robot, Shinji.
Get in the robot, Shinji. Dad, no! But yeah, I don't, like, this is finally a thing. I don't know. I kind of don't know how to feel about it. It's been so long since the last one.
I feel like at this point, we're committed.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We're committed as a group, as a unit. But I don't remember anything in those other movies. I remember there's a piano scene where Shinji's like, am I gay? I don't know. Am I gay for robots? Maybe. And then he's like, but I love Rey, and Rey hates me, but that makes me love her more. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff, right?
Yeah, he's totally aware of his likes and needs, whatever.
It's, I don't know. I feel like we should rewatch those movies
before. We should. Yeah. Well, the first movie is straight up the TV show.
Yeah.
Second movie's a little deviation, and then, yeah, third one's like,
third what? One's like, there. The two things are running parallel. First movie and anime, yeah, just running parallel.
Yeah.
And then second movie, it kind of starts to veer away. Yeah. Like, hey. And the third movie is just like 90 degree. Like, yeah, hey, what's up?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the fourth movie just turns around. It's like going back to the
beginning. Yeah, that's the plus one.
Yeah. That's cool. The other anime announcement, probably the one that I think we're more excited for, more or less, is the announcement of a Persona 5 TV series.
Yes.
Animation. There's no word on a Western release.
Yeah, they just said, yeah. Was it again?
I don't know.
I think it's just said 2018.
Yeah.
Like, just a general, here's the time frame. Next year, not this year.
And it's definitely Japanese release. They only use the Japanese voice actors from the game.
Yeah.
Here, so expect that.
So what, like, do you want, like, this is probably going to be just a retelling of the game, right?
Yeah.
Would you want, like, a Persona, or I can't even ask you that question because you haven't beat anything yet. God damn it.
The real question is, do you think this anime will come out before I finish Persona 5?
No, or yes, it will. I'm going to say it will come out before you beat the second dungeon.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's how little confidence
at,
you have?
At the pace you're going, which is glacier, if I'm being generous, you're going at a glacier
pace. I beat Kamoshida!
No, you didn't. You defeated the boss within Kamoshida's dungeon. Yeah. You have not defeated Kamoshida the person outside of the dungeon.
It's a tomato potato.
Those are two different words. So yeah, I'm going to say that by the time this anime comes out, you will have not beaten the second dungeon.
Says you.
All right.
I'm excited for an anime.
Yeah, yeah. I think by that time, I will be like, oh, I want to relive that show. Or that series, but yeah. I don't want to put 80 hours into it, so I'll watch the TV series.
Yeah, I watched the Persona 4 anime almost, not immediately, but maybe a month or two after I finished Persona 4.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. And I enjoyed it.
The thing I liked about Persona 4 anime was the Golden spinoff.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was, like, here's New Game Plus, the anime.
Yeah.
Which, I know usually they have these like, bonus series or these bonus games like Persona 4 had Persona 4 Golden, Persona 3 had Vess,
mm-hmm.
Right? Do you think they're going to do a whole separate release for 5?
No.
Or do you think it's going to be Vita exclusive, obviously?
No.
Do you think it's just going to be like here's DLC?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's going to be, is it?
I think in today's day and age, they won't be able to get away with a secondary release.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there will be like another edition, but I don't think there'll be a way that original owners can't just buy DLC to upgrade their copy.
What if I told you that if you want the physical version, it's exclusive to the Atlas store?
Whoa. That'd suck.
That would suck. And that's the nightmare scenario for me.
Damn. You know what is a nightmare scenario?
Tell me.
You know Nintendo.
I heard about Nintendo.
You know they make video games,
right? Yeah, do they?
They do.
Do they?
They do.
They make Mario.
They make some pretty good games.
They made one of the best games this year.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And chances are they make two good games this year.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Anyways, they got into the toys to life scene not too long ago.
Yeah, with the amiibos.
Yeah, and you know, amiibos are there to give you.
They're always sold out.
Yeah, and but I think the cruel part about the amiibo thing is that they unlock game content sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, like that's usually like the thing with that is so take the Splatoon one for example. Like that's just cosmetic, or in the case of Smash Bros. It's like, oh, here's this fun little bonus thing. You can watch an AI battle.
Sure.
Right? And so they're not really big deals.
I thought in Splatoon 1 they had like some that had actual game content locked away.
I don't know about that.
Like for the single
player stuff. I just remember some of them had like you just get hats. Okay. Or you get different clothing items. Right.
Well,
don't quote, like I don't know.
Yeah, well, so. Anyways, Nintendo is taking that step.
Okay.
And for the new Metroid game this year, Samus Returns.
Yes. Oh, the one with the parry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That great game. It turns out, when you beat the game, you can unlock a harder mode.
Okay.
Where you also have the fusion suit from Metroid Fusion.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
However, you cannot access this.
Fuck.
Unless
fuck.
You buy the limited squishy Metroid amiibo. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I'm going to pre-order an amiibo.
Oh, no!
It makes me feel dirty. But I just know that if they're putting something that substantial behind it, that amiibo is going to be through the roof in the aftermarket, in the gray market.
You bet it is.
And... like, listen, I'm still looking for a Majora's Mask Link. That thing was sold out day one.
Oh,
and yeah. If I want one online, it's like, hey, pay me $60. I'm like, no.
Wow.
Go away.
Wow.
That's shitty. Yeah, that's really shitty. It doesn't matter. Like, even... So, was it? Shovel Knight did this.
Oh, as yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Shovel Knight had a 3DS release, and it had, like, a multiplayer mode locked behind an amiibo.
Sure did.
Right? And that sucks. The only other side to that, the argument you say to that is that, oh, the Shovel Knight one isn't hard to find.
Yeah.
But still, you bought this game, you're locking away content in this. It's not even that, like, okay, here's this DLC we've been working on, mm-hmm. and you can just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You are purposely making this, like, physical constraint.
Yep.
Where, like, A, if you don't have a new 3DS...
yeah.
You can't use it unless you have that attachment. Yeah. If you do have a new 3DS, you can't use it unless you have the amiibo. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance they're going to make 4 of these amiibo and release them all in Singapore.
Yep.
And then no one's going to have them.
Right.
So, it's super shitty.
It is, yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it totally is. Like, I have not been, very, let's say... happy about the position of like when games have DLC announcements before their release date.
Yeah.
But the counter argument is, hey, at least you could buy that stuff.
And also I can see why that would happen because like certain studios that do have that day and date DLC announcement, like they're huge studios.
Yeah.
So it's like the main team's working on the game, but the side team who's doing nothing right now, we got to utilize these assets, right? Yeah. So we're just going to get them to do DLC.
Right. But this amiibo thing takes it too far because now it's like, well, now you got to worry about buying, like, actually buying something else, but you can't, it's not something that you can easily buy.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
And then also coming from, like a game preservation point of view.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to store the full version of this Metroid game somehow, you need that amiibo, right? And that'll be one other thing that, like, say someone wants to play this game like 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
And they don't sell that amiibo anymore.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, that's right? A bummer. So anyways, I'm gonna buy the game, buy the amiibo, and then flip that shit.
Yeah. you gotta pre-order 2 amiibos.
Oh yeah.
You got one to play.
That's true. I don't need to pre-order the game. I just need the amiibo. Yeah.
You know the game's gonna be in stock. Like,
yeah, that's true. And it's gonna be digital, so.
Yeah. No, right. Ew. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You need one to play and one to display.
Gross. Cool. I think there's something else I wanted to talk about, and I think it has to deal with movies.
Okay.
So you know how that Justice League movie's coming out later this year?
I've heard about it.
Do you know how they have to go back and do reshoots?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, they did reshoots because we talked about it earlier in the year where how Zack Snyder had to drop out because of family situations and stuff, and Joss Whedon's taking over.
But I didn't know they did reshoots.
So they're doing reshoots and whatnot. Anyways, spoiler, Superman's in this movie.
What? No way. That's crazy. Why?
But the big deal about Superman is Henry Cavill, or Cavill, is doing these reshoots, but he has an interesting addition to his face.
Which is?
A mustache.
Oh, Superman with a mustache.
Well, here's the thing. The problem is, he's also currently filming Mission Impossible 6.
Okay.
And
wait, is he taking over Tom Cruise's role?
No, he's in the movie. But for plot reasons, he's contractually obligated to grow this mustache and keep it for that film.
Yeah.
So he's going back and forth shooting both movies. So he can't shave his mustache for Justice League.
That's great.
So, what Warner Brothers has to do is digitally remove this mustache.
No! No!
Yes.
No, keep it!
And I was looking through it, and, like, I was reading articles, and they talked into, like, all the VFX guys, and they're like, well, how much is it? Like, what is the time that's going to take to remove, and the amount? Like, how much money?
Yeah.
And what do you want to say?
It depends how much he's in this movie. Like, if he's just at the end, like a stinger, maybe like a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
But if he's in a majority of the movie, I'm going to say it's up in the millions.
Yeah, okay. So they're saying it's probably going to be a couple million.
Damn.
And they're like, it'd be one thing if it could just be a couple scenes of him just being like static.
Yeah.
And he's not moving, and then they just use like 2D artistry and effects, but because he has it in a lot of like really high intense scenes.
Are they going frame by frame?
Yeah, they have to. It's a mix of 2D and 3D modeling to remove it, and they're like, just to build the assets for that is like a week or two. To overlay them is another 3 weeks, and then to render it all is another week. And they're like, damn. So it's a 6 week job for this fucking mustache in the millions.
What if I...
For a movie that's already $25 million over budget.
DC, what if I told you that you could keep the mustache, but I'll give you free story twist. That Superman is Bizarro Superman.
That would not work.
Yeah.
No.
Henry Cavill with a mustache
is
Bizarro Superman, which sets up the next big Justice League movie. Because then all of the other ones are like, what is this weird world? Like, people are trying to be me, but not me. I don't get it. Mm. And then Bizarro Superman.
Yeah. There you have it.
That one's for you. That one's for you.
Well, there you go. There's Mustache Superman.
I think they should keep the mustache. I want to see Mustache Superman.
I just can't wait to see this movie. I just want to see what it looks like.
You want
to
focus on that upper lip?
Yeah, I want to be like, oh, where's the digital rendering? Where? That's not his real upper lip.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. Also in related news, amidst the rumors and speculation that Ben Affleck was out as Batman, he just signed on to the trilogy, so there you go.
Okay.
Get hype.
I like Batfleck.
Yeah, he's the best.
I like Batfleck a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't like him.
Caveat. Just remember, he also said that he was 400% sure directing his Batman movie, and then 2 weeks later dropped out of the directing role. So,
true.
I think that was a grain of salt.
True.
Those are all my interesting stories.
Okay. I got two quick ones. So, Rock Band Blitz.
Yeah.
Is a game that came out a while ago.
Is that for the mobile devices?
No, maybe for mobile devices, but I know it's on PS3 and Xbox 360. Oh. It came out August 28th of 2012.
Whoa!
So it's been a long time. But Harmonix is taking it down from the store.
Oh no!
So Harmonix isn't a stranger to taking down stuff. Like a lot of their Rock Band songs, if you didn't buy them before, you can't buy them now because of the way music licensing works. So it's like, okay, we make this song. Our contract with the whatever music company allows us to have it on the store for 2 years. Then after the 2 years, we take it away for purchase. But if you have purchased it, you can still re-download it later for whatever reason because you own that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's pretty much what they're doing with Rock Band Blitz. I only bring this up because when you buy Rock Band Blitz, you get a free export of all 25 songs on that soundtrack. So if you own Rock Band 4 or Rock Band 3 or whatever, and you like those songs, I would recommend, like, kind of just, here's $15. It's pretty much, it's more than an album's worth of songs, and there's a lot of good ones, like Queen songs, kind of a lot of party jams on there, and just so you don't miss out. So they're gonna take down the game. I don't remember when they're gonna take down the game, but it's gonna be taken off the store. If you want some good Rock Band songs on the cheap, go pick up Rock Band Blitz. Also, Rock Band Blitz is pretty fun by itself. Okay. It was a rhythm game. You remember Frequency?
Yep.
And Amplitude?
Yep.
It kind of played like that, like a simpler version of that. And it was a rhythm game you could play with the controller. So I really enjoyed it when it came out, just for people to know. And then the next one is I think the one most video game players care about. So recently, Walmart had a technical error, had a glitch. They put up the SNES Classic for pre-order. A bunch of people got it, sold out immediately, and then Walmart's like, nah, son, it's not actually supposed to be up for pre-order. We're canceling all those pre-orders.
Okay.
So Nintendo has come out and announced that the SNES Classic will be available for pre-order later this month.
What's that mean?
Later this month.
No, but, like, what's that mean?
It means later in August.
Anthony, we're recording this August 1st. What's later this month?
So any time from now...
No.
...till the end of August...
Oh, my God.
...there will eventually be a window...
What?
...where you can pre-order the SNES Classic.
Go away.
So, yeah. In the States, Target has already... confirm that they'll make shipments for the launch in the 29th of September.
Well, okay.
Thanks, so, RJ. You have a whole month to be on the edge of your seat refreshing your Twitter pages to look that if you can pre-order an SNES Classic.
What a waste.
So,
thanks, Nintendo. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for looking out.
It's really disappointing. At least there's a window. I don't know. Hopefully they make more than 10. I doubt they will.
They won't.
I really want one.
Me too.
I want to play, like, not even, I don't want, I'm not even looking to flip it. Like,
no, save, I want to play the games on this.
Yeah, I want to play the games on it. I want to play Star Fox 2, like, 100%. I want to see what that game is.
I just want to play Final Fantasy 3.
I finally want to beat Final Fantasy 3. So, I might have told this story years ago on the podcast, but I have Final Fantasy 3 for the GBA, but it's a bootleg cart.
Yeah,
got it from the Asian mall where you get all the bootlegs.
Yeah,
and
got it from the Asia.
And this cart specifically, I don't know what it is about this cart, but it's got a glitch in it. Like, whenever you get to the final dungeon in Final Fantasy 3 or /6, it erases your save file.
Oh,
so I got to the end of Final Fantasy 3 /6. Twice.
Wow.
Once on a normal playthrough. The second time I was like, F it. This time I'll just do 100% playthrough because I thought it was just like a one-off thing. I got to the tower. I saved. Shut it off. Loaded it again. Deleted.
Damn.
So.
Damn.
I collected all the Mog dances. I got all of Gao's Blue Mage skills. I found all the secrets. I was level 99 with everybody. It's so disappointing.
Damn, homie. That sucks.
So, yeah. I'll be excited to finally play this game. Also Earthbound, I want to play. So yeah, keep an eye out. Sometime this month you can pre-order it. I bet it's going to be while you're sleeping. So
probably. Maybe I'll pre-order the Japanese one. That's useless. I can't read
it. What are you going to do? It's all RPGs on this version. Like, I want the Famicom, like the regular Famicom.
Well, then I'll flip it.
Huh? Okay.
I'll trade it.
Ooh.
Oh, I'll trade it for the English one.
Trade for the English? That's smart.
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad plan.
Yeah.
Because
because when the Famicom one was announced, that one was easy to pre-order.
Yeah.
So, no doubt. I got this.
Son of a B.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. That's it.
That's all your picks.
All my picks.
So for weeks.
Unless you want me to recommend you Initial D memes.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Nope. Let's see. This week is another week where things have happened.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Positive.
Yes. Okay. I just played the new Titanfall Horde mode.
Okay.
Frontier Defense, which actually is just an updated version of the Horde mode they introduced for Titanfall 1.
Oh, is it?
But no one played it in the first one because they introduced it like a year and a half after that game came out.
Kind of like this game.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's just like that, but they've introduced a couple new things. They've introduced a couple new skill-specific trees that you can only access in Frontier Defense.
Okay.
Like, you can... They really have it so that you can upgrade your Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're called, the mechs? Titans?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Titanfall.
Yeah. For some reason, it just didn't make sense to me. Yeah, they could upgrade... Like, your Titans have skill tree loadouts like you would for your character pilots.
Yeah.
But they also have upgrades...
Okay.
That you can upgrade to, so they become even crazier.
You just try and break them for Horde mode?
Yeah. Also, the Horde mode has a currency system in it.
Yeah.
So every time you kill stuff, you can, say, repair your Titan between waves.
Yeah.
Or you can set up turrets. You can set up traps and whatnot. The whole point of the Horde mode is you have a giant, it looks like a tower, like a glowing tower.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta defend it from five waves of enemies.
Okay.
And that's all it is. It's you and four people, and you go nuts, and it gets hectic, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of action on the screen. It's one of those... I haven't played Titanfall in a while, but just playing it again, I'm like, man, this game really does feel great. Oh, it feels so good to shoot
it's,
people.
I don't know. On my Game of the Year list, it was number one for a reason.
Yeah. Like, it was super sad that when I loaded it up earlier this week, and I saw that it had 6,000 people playing.
Dude. You still get into a match.
No, you can. You can. But I do remember the days of, like, Call of Duty, and like, yo, there's like 500,000 people playing.
Yeah. And then it's like, I'll buy this DLC. Now there's a million people playing, but they're all killers.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sad. But it's fun. It's fun. If you have friends to play with, I totally recommend it. It's just co-op Horde mode. If you're into that stuff, I mean, it's cool, too, because Horde mode always requires a different set of loadouts that I always find don't work as well in competitive.
Okay.
So it's cool to mix up with weapons. I find that you can use weapons that normally you will not be as successful with in PvP.
Listen, I used that double barrel SMG. That was my main. All right.
Okay.
Use it effectively.
I don't know. I don't know if that'll be as great against a whole bunch of grunts.
Okay.
Maybe you want that LMG just mowing people down. I use the Ronin Titan, you know, the sword with the shotgun. Yeah. He's not really the greatest for mowing down.
It doesn't seem like it.
No, he's not. And because he has the low shields, you get taken out pretty quick.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great.
Let me tell you about Tone.
Tone's pretty good. I really want to try out that new Titan they have, Monarch.
Yeah, so what's the deal with this? Like, he upgrades himself?
Yeah, so you know how, like, each Titan has a special ability?
Yeah.
So for his, it's like, the first level, you basically puts on, like, you get magic bullets for all your weapons.
Oh, okay.
The second...
Magic bullets? Like, what do they do?
Well, damage, or... no, like, all your bolts are now arc energy, so they have shield pass-through.
Dang.
And then, like, the next one is, now you got auto-seeking, instead of your regular missiles, you got homing missiles now.
Okay.
And then, like, so on and so forth. If you get into a doomed state, I guess there's one of the skills where he can get out of that. Like, you can repair him on the fly.
That sounds awesome!
So you could just keep going. Huh. So, yeah, his difficulty rating seems like it's tougher, but he also seems like the type of Titan who... It would be really tough to use in PvP, but in this Horde mode, because you're always with your Titan.
Oh, like, you're upgrading.
Yeah, he seems unreal. And I was looking at his, like, the skill trees that you get for him. Again, it just seems like he's incredible. So, okay. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's fun. And then Overwatch, more Overwatch. That's always fun. I love Overwatch.
Play Doomfist?
Yeah, he punches shit.
Does he?
Oh, man. The just the sense of gratification when you punch anybody in the face.
Is it really that good?
Yeah, and then you're just like, and then you see the kill feed come up, you're like, because he has the one to kill, you're just like, oh, so good.
Okay.
Especially when you hit a Genji. Like, when you hit Genji or Tracer and they're flying at you and you're like, no.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, some montage videos where, like a Tracer is warping and then does the rewind, but... The Doomfist punches into where they're going to end the rewind. Like, I want to see that. Like, some anime shit.
Like, Doomfist's greatest ability is his knockback. I was playing a lot where a D.Va was hounding me, and so I just waited for you to use her boosters,
yeah.
And I punched her off an edge, and she couldn't do anything.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was fun. I did that. I watched this new show. I've been, like, really wanting to watch some sci-fi, like space opera.
So you watched Firefly?
Yes, but that's beyond the point. I watched this other show. It's a Canadian show called Dark Matter. It's on sci-fi.
Okay.
The premise is...
Oh, Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi. Sorry, Sci-Fi. That's right, Sci-Fi. It is this crew, this ragtag crew of people. They wake up on a spaceship with all their memories lost.
Amnesia? What?
Yeah, and they find out that they're supposed criminals. Like, they're the most badass criminals in the galaxy.
But they don't remember being criminals?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they all... But they're in the middle of a job. Okay. As they wake up, so like they continue through it, and like that's it's all about rediscovering their past and like who they are and who's part of their crew and what they're supposed to be.
Okay.
And it's very much a character based show. It's all about, you know, it's not so much the big overarching story. It's like not about huge politics. It's about who are these characters and discovering more about them, and it's really good.
Okay.
Like, I thought at first it was just, like, at first I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the sci-fi cliche stuff.
On staple, it sounds very stock.
Like, oh, totally. Oh,
here's a ship.
Totally.
And then they got amnesia.
Totally.
And,
you're watching it, and you're
it's
like,
a JRPG.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, yeah, this is sci-fi, but, like, it moves at such a great, like, its pacing is really well judged. Like, each season's only 12 episodes. I think they're halfway through their third season.
Okay.
And there's some really good twists. Like, they're not, like, mind-boggling, but I still never saw them coming, and they're really smart how they have been written and the plot. The cool thing about the show is that it is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Their main set is located in Toronto, but all their on-location stuff is filmed here in Hamilton.
Oh, nice.
So I was looking through, and they're like, yeah, we filmed a lot of, like, when they go to travel to a space station,
yeah.
A lot of it's filmed at the Hamilton Art Gallery.
Oh.
And then when I saw that, I looked at it, I'm like, oh yeah, it is. And then I was looking around at all their locations, and I'm like, cool, next time they go filming, I want to see if I can see a little, what they're doing. Like, if
that
I can
find out. That sounds pretty
cool. Yeah, so it was really neat to see. Pretty diverse cast. I mean, the crew is led by some Asian chick.
So. Isn't it the Spider-Man problem? Where it's so diverse it feels forced, or...
Not necessarily, but I feel... Well, no, that's not it. It's actually... It's got a good blend. It's just... okay. I'm going to paint you a picture, okay?
All right.
Do you like the gritty, derelict ships of, say, like, the Alien universe?
All right, got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if I told you... If that's your... What if I told you that... If you're the type of person who likes that, but you thought that the number one thing that could make that better is a samurai sword, that's what this show is.
What? Wait, so does the Asian chick just wield a samurai sword?
No, there's an Asian dude, okay?
Okay.
His name is Ryo.
Of course it is!
Tetsuda.
Oh!
And he is the prince of a long line
of Neo Japan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my god.
But here's the best part, okay? He does not look Japanese whatsoever.
Wait, what?
He is the most Filipino looking dude
I've ever seen. Oh my god.
He's also a Taiwanese champion.
Oh my
god. Not Taiwanese, sorry. Taekwondo.
What?
So he was literally cast as, you're an Asian guy, you can do martial arts, we will give you this samurai sword, and
wow!
All his scenes are, and whenever he picks up the sword, you're like, that is just some fucking stock samurai choreography.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
it's garbage.
It's one of those moments where you're like, oh. Like,
typecast again.
Yeah. It's just like it's weird because the rest of the show is totally not like that. It's just his one character. You're just like, and he's super stoic and he's super badass.
That just sounds like a writer. Like, just had a fucking hard-on for this character.
Yeah.
And was like, if you're making a show out of it,
yeah,
you have to have this character in it.
Yeah.
But we can't find anybody. You have to have this character in it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, go get Jim. He knows Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Like, and like, Taekwondo's not lame either. Like, you could have made a cool character out of that. And that person's already skilled in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because I'm like...
Canadian television!
Because, He has, like, a best friend, childhood best friend of Squirtle, is played by Knives Chow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And she looks way more Japanese with her sword skills. But it's just weird because
she was Knives Chow. She's had experience.
Yeah, it's just so weird because, like, they put him in, like, all his flashback scenes and like, when he has to confront, like, his family.
Yeah.
They're, like, super Japanese dudes.
Huh.
And then you see this, like, dark-skinned Filipino bro with a samurai sword. And that's hilarious. Like, what's happening here?
Does he start, like, yelling Tagalog lines?
I don't know. I feel like he could. He's from Scarborough, so whatever.
He probably could.
Like, because I was watching with Melissa, and we were like, that guy's not Japanese. And then, so we were thinking, like, do white people just assume? Like, is that what it is? Or
as a white person,
yeah.
I think I can, like, so I over the years, I have come to be able to tell people apart, right? But I don't know, man, like, in the beginning years of my life, I just saw a bunch of people, I'm like, yeah, you're Asian.
I don't know, I guess I always thought that, like, you know, there's Oriental, and then there's, like, they're like the Pacific Islanders to Hawaii. Like, I always thought there was a.
Oh yeah, if you want to get like really racial about it, I always thought that
there
was that.
A, I thought there was like that. I always thought, I always thought there was like a different, an easily identifiable, you know, difference between the two.
Okay, so there is trying to this is I'm not gonna name names.
Okay,
but there are a certain group of people I know.
Yeah.
Right. Where when I tell them like. Hey, like, most of my friends, like, other than you guys, are, they're mostly Asian, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they'll say shit like, how do you tell them apart? Ha ha, I'm so funny, right? And it's crazy because on some level they're not joking.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Because it's mainly they're not exposed to that, so they don't know the differences. Yeah. And they're just a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And, like, on one hand, it's like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But also, on the other hand, I know exactly what their thought process is because I used to just be like, here's a group of people.
Yeah.
That's like when my one friend Ali gets mad at me for, clumping together a bunch of people from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I don't know the difference. The only person I hang out is with you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know the different cultures. So, like, to me, it's almost like, here's this circle. And in that circle is a bunch of this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. What else did I do? I went to the Ripley's Aquarium in Toronto.
How much did you pay?
Yeah, it was 28.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's worth it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. The sharks you see are pretty big.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be in Toronto on Sunday.
Yeah.
And have to kill a lot of time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would... I mean...
Yeah, it takes... That could be a part of the killing time.
It's like a two-hour run-through. I will say, though, if you're going on a weekend... That's my mistake. I wouldn't have gone on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a lot of tourism and a lot of children.
Did you know it's OVO Fest this weekend?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... It's also a long weekend.
Yeah, long weekend OVO Fest.
So
also some sort of Caribbean something.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, the aquarium is cool. You got to see a lot of neat fish, a lot of jellyfish. You got to pet manta rays, baby manta rays, and some sort of crab.
Steve Irwin's natural enemy.
Yeah, stingray.
Stingray?
Yeah.
There you go.
You got to see those.
You get to pet them.
No.
Okay.
Manta rays.
You should have pet stingrays.
But yeah, no, it's a cool place. The other thing I did is I watched a Jays game.
Okay.
A baseball game.
Teach me about baseball. Is it as boring to watch there as it is in person? Or sorry, as it is on the television?
It's definitely not as boring as on television.
Okay.
It is just as long though.
Okay. I saw you got to go to a lucky game. I heard the news at the tail end.
There was a huge play. The ending of that game was amazing.
Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Right?
Yeah. So I went to the Jays game, and I didn't know that the Blue Jays wore red jerseys now.
They're not blue anymore.
No, they're red. So
the Cardinals.
I was confused because they played the Angels, who also wear red, and so I saw two teams of red on the field. I'm like, what's happening?
You know they're called the Blue Jays, right? Like they know that.
Yeah. No. Their jersey says Blue Jays. And it's in red text.
Is there a way jersey blue?
No.
What?
No, they're just all red.
Okay.
So
whatever.
Anyways, baseball games, super busy. A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of busy. I was at the very top.
How much did you pay for beer?
$12.
Holy shit!
Yeah. $12.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
That hurts just to hear about
it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I bought it, and we were just like, I could have bought a case.
You could have bought a case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I paid $3 for Jumbo Freezies.
Oh, those are cents. Those are cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder baseball has no salary cap. They're milking their fans like a mother effer.
A lot of people, seats aren't.
How comfortable are seats?
They're comfortable enough.
Okay.
It's just that you don't have leg room.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I sat at the very top, so like I could see all the way down. The one thing I'll say is, don't go on a hot day.
Was it hot?
Oh my God, it was hot. I had to leave my seat and walk around like the concession area every like two innings.
You know what you should have done?
What?
You should have brought an umbrella.
I didn't think about that.
You could have blocked everybody behind you, their view.
Yeah. Anyways, the game was actually kind of boring. Like, after the first inning was fun to watch because you're like, oh, you're excited and everybody's pumped. But the first inning, the Jays were down like, I think, two runs.
Okay.
And it just escalated from there.
Okay.
From like innings 2 to 8.
I assume that everyone pays attention at the first inning and at the last inning. And then everything in between is them trying to get wasted.
Yeah, pretty much. But the thing, what happens is halfway through the game, like around inning 5 or 6, you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, okay. At this point, like, oh, they're down by like 8 runs. And a lot of people just leave.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. So baseball games are long.
Yeah.
It's like 4. I was there for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
I got there at 12:30. I didn't leave till 5.
Jesus.
So.
Jesus.
Yeah. And, yeah, a lot of people just leave. So I ended up just sitting closer and closer and closer.
Oh, because people left their seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got some wicked seats. And so then after that, I walked around again for like, I was with Melissa. We just went to get like drinks and food through innings 7 and 8. We're like, hey, you want to just go? You want to just leave? And then so we heard a cheer. So we walked back into the stadium. Like this, at this point, we're like, wicked seats.
All right.
And then it's like, oh.
There's something happening.
Something's happening. Ninth inning. And it's the bottom of the ninth. They're still down. Like, the score is 10-4 to the Angels. But the Jays get, like...
A bunch of runs.
Yeah, they get a bunch of runs. And then all of a sudden, the score is, like, 10-7. Bases are loaded. Some guy comes out, and he just fucking nails this grand slam. And we're like, what the fuck? Yeah, it was pretty nuts. The whole stadium went wild. Everyone was cheering.
Yeah, that play made it to the front page of Reddit. That's how I know about it.
It was insane. And I can't believe I got to see it happen.
That's crazy.
It was cool.
Good thing you didn't leave. Yeah. I bet a bunch of people who left are, like, kicking themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't blame them. It was hot. It was boring.
Yeah, this summer's been very hot and humid.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. The Jays game seems like something to be fun if you're in a big group.
Would you go again?
I think so. I don't know if I would go on such a hot day.
You want a fall game.
Yeah, like where I could wear a sweater.
Or like it's comfortable to wear pants and a t-shirt.
Yeah, and like if maybe the game was a bit more low, I don't need it to be like super packed.
Okay.
If it's a bit more low key, we have space to walk around, big group of friends, y'all get wasted, buy peanuts, like cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
My week was more chill than that. Guess what? I played more video games.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. So I played what I want to start with.
Star Wars.
I did not play Star Wars.
Oh.
So I played Splatoon 2.
Splatoon?
Splatoon.
Splatoon.
Yes. Yo, that game's more Splatoon.
I heard.
Does
it justify putting 2 in the end?
Hmm?
Does it actually a 2? Or is it like a 1.1?
There's like certain small things.
Or is this like a 1.8?
HD remix. I could see this as like a
final chapter.
Yeah, prologue. as a almost final chapter ink prologue.
Okay,
right. There's not any sort of like sweeping changes that makes it drastically different from the Wii U version.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it's on a system people own now, so finding games isn't so rough, yeah. Right? You're not just getting matched with killers. You're usually getting matched with someone around your skill level. But there's some new additions for weapons. Like, they have the dual splatters, just dual guns where you have more mobility. So you're killer up close. But if you want to get out, you can dodge roll.
I heard that was included just to as a hard counter to the roller.
Yeah. So the roller is... I went on a rampage with the roller today.
Yeah.
And the roller's got... I don't know if this was actually in the first game, but I think it's got a new move where if you jump and do your roller swipe, your attack, you go in a horizontal, like a very vertical line, and it goes farther.
Oh! Right?
So you can either throw it out and kind of, it's like, here's the short shotgun.
Yeah.
Or you can just do a piercing line.
Yeah.
And then you can roll it.
Yeah.
There's also a new weapon. It's like a bucket.
That's not a weapon.
You get a bucket.
No, that's not a weapon. No,
it's a weapon.
A bucket's a bucket.
Yeah, it's a bucket. But you throw a bucket of ink at people.
That's just dumb.
It's cool because you can get it up places. So, like, if you want to try in Turf 4, which is very important, Turf 4, where you have to
paint
the ground, and the most ground painted wins. When you say you want to get somewhere that the enemy has just complete domination over, right? And the only way are map-made choke points.
Yeah.
What you can do is use this bucket item. You can start chucking paint over a wall, right? Or if there's an enemy camping up top, chuck paint onto him, blow him up. In this game, it seems like kills are much more important because certain skills like fast respawn... and how long it takes you to warp to an enemy through their spawn jumps take a little bit longer. Death cooldown, like, or fast respawn isn't as effective as it was in the first game. So it kind of changed up, like, the balance dynamics, but this more seems like a super Splatoon Fighter 2 rather than like a Third Strike.
Okay.
Right. It seems like it's like a marginal upgrade. They could have been like Splatoon A New Challenger or something, like some sort of fighting game title. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. I didn't play a lot of Splatoon 1 mm-hmm. because by the time I got into it, everyone was just dominating. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that much fun. And now that I'm playing with people around my skill level, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got to play Salmon Run at all.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't got to do it.
Mm. How do you feel about that single player?
Single player is fun.
Yeah.
It's a good way to learn new weapons and stuff. If you're looking for, like, super deep story, like, it's not happening. It's mainly a way for you to learn controls, get comfortable with different items and weapons for the multiplayer, but also kind of introduce you to the overall style of Splatoon, because that's the big thing about Splatoon is that it's fresh, yo. like, I haven't seen this much style in a game franchise since Jet Set Radio.
Mm.
So, How they use fashion and how they use their cool, hip, youthful squid teens to their advantage is pretty cool. And then the single player is a good way to see that. Different challenges give you, in the single player, kind of make you use items in different ways and use guns that you normally wouldn't use, which then, in turn, gets you better at the multiplayer because now you have more creative ways and you know how to use certain items more effectively.
Right.
I've been trying to get used to motion controls,
but
it's hard.
Yeah,
I'm using the Pro Controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest. So I've been using mostly just regular sticks.
Oh, and really? The Pro Controller's not.
It's better than like turning the switch all around or like using the nunchucks. But I'm just not used to it. I think I just need to practice more because apparently the MLG way to play that game is using motion controls because you can just whip around so fast.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to it. I need more practice. So right now I'm still just using the sticks. And I'm actually doing pretty decent with the sticks. I cranked the sensitivity way up. And like a lot of the weapons, like not other than the charge rifle, there's no item that's really super accurate. Right? So like the dual splatties, they kind of have a wide range. The roller has a wide range. The bucket's a bucket.
Yeah.
Even like the main blaster kind of has like bullet deviation, right?
Hmm.
So you can kind of like even though you're not getting the crazy accuracy of your motion controls, you can kind of compensate for that on the sticks by factoring in the spread of your weapon.
Hmm.
So it's fun. I like it. The new power ups are really really cool, like your super moves, and I like it. It's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Splatoon. Fresh paint.
Fresh paint. It's a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
I also started and finished Super Hot.
Yes.
I got it on the Steam sale, the summer sale. And, man, that game is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think if I paid that full, what was I asking for before, like 20, 25 bucks?
Yeah.
I think if I paid that full price, I would have been happy.
Okay.
Which is surprising because this game is very short.
Okay.
And by short, I mean this game is 2 hours.
Man, that's more than a movie.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
It's very short. They have other things in there. Like when you beat the game, you get like an endless mode and a challenge mode and stuff. And Super Hot, for people who don't know, it's a first-person shooter where time is basically almost at a standstill when you're standing still. But when you move, time moves. So what you got to do is kill all these enemies in a room by using your time manipulation, right? Mm-hmm. The whole story mode, which I think is just super awesome. It's really great. It's set around you're in DOS pretty much, and you're in an IRC chat room. And some guy's like, yo, check out this game. It's called superhot.exe.
Mm.
Like, play it. It's from this new game company's place, and it's a cracked version of the game. And you are logging in to play Superhot.
Mm.
And going in, like, I can't say anything else from that. Because, A, the game is so short, and that game goes places.
Mm.
The ending of that game is kind of a what-the-F moment. And I would really... there's not much to talk about because it's everything is there in its face. There's no like secrets or like deep discussions about Super Hot, but it's a discussion where I just want to meet someone else who's beat it and go, yo, that was sick, right? And they're like, yes, that was sick. That was so cool. It's one of those kind of stories. I've really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm still playing more of it because I do love the combat. So playing endless mode, just trying to get all that stuff. There is a couple mechanics that are not really shown in trailers.
Yeah.
So when you go through the story, you'll get that. So there's more to go than just time stopping when you move or when you stop and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed it. I think I would have been happy paying the full price they asked for it.
Cool.
It makes me want to play the VR version. Like really, because yeah. I can now, like now that I've played that game with a mouse and keyboard, I can imagine that game in VR.
Yeah.
That seems awesome. And then I also started and got one ending, or technically two endings, in Nier Automata.
Nier Automata?
Yeah, Nier Automata, Nier Automata.
Is it the first ending you get from dying in the first?
I did not get that one. So I learned about that ending on a podcast after I finished that level, and I was like, dang.
Are you saying you're just too good at games?
I'm just too good at games.
Wow.
Just too good.
Wow.
There was... one ending I got for removing your OS chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got that one.
Okay.
So there's a lot of joke ending. There's an ending for each letter in the alphabet in that
Whoa.
Game. Right? But there's four main endings. So I got ending A.
Yeah.
And ending A is the first playthrough of the story.
How long is that?
12 hours.
Oh, wow. Is that...
So I kind of went nuts one day, and I just said, I'm going to start playing this game. And then I beat the first thing in one sitting.
Whoa. And it's 12 hours? Yeah. What the fuck?
I played 12 hours straight of that game.
What? Okay.
I really enjoy it.
Okay.
For a platinum game, I think the combat is a little simplistic.
I wanted to ask you about that, because this one seems like the platinum game for people who don't like action games.
Yeah, so if you're not the type of person who's going to get deep into a character action game, like a Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Or a Devil May Cry 3. Yeah. Or a fighting game. Like, if you're not that person, if you're there just to see flashy moves and do stuff.
Yeah.
I think this game is a platinum game for you.
This makes me sound this sounds so nice.
Yeah,
I like this.
Which is, I don't know, like because platinum games have that automatic easy mode.
Yeah,
where you can kind of just press one button and do cool stuff.
Yeah,
but that's a little too simplistic.
Yeah,
like this one is kind of a good balance between like casual gameplay and being able to do cool attacks.
Mm.
I think the main thing about it that makes it more approachable is that your perfect dodge has such a wide window,
right? Yeah, that's what I remember in the demo.
Yeah, so in Bayonetta, like if you want to do witch time, like that, like an enemy's axe basically has to be touching your face.
Yeah.
Right? And then you got to do a dodge. In this one, they could be starting the downswing. Like, as soon as that downswing starts, you can dodge and you get your perfect dodge. And then also, you're invincible after you recover from that dodge. So if someone's doing, like, for example, the first boss in the demo is a giant drill,
yeah,
right, or an excavator, and it's spinning.
Yeah.
While it's spinning, you can just keep timing the dodges and do perfect dodge, perfect dodge, perfect dodge, perfect dodge, and never get hit through that whole chain attack. Mm. And then there's other things you can get. The upgrade system in this is chips.
Yeah.
So you get chips to put inside your robot body, which then give you different abilities and stuff. I got to a point where I have three separate builds. One is for combat, one is for immediately out of combat, and one is for exploring and scavenging.
Oh, you have presets you can apply?
Yeah, you can have three presets. Okay,
that's cool.
So my combat one is nuts because, like, when I do a perfect dodge, I basically get 2 seconds of witch time.
Yeah.
Right? And then I do a bunch of stuff there. For after battle, I can switch that preset, and I have a bunch of health regen stuff, so I don't have to use my potions.
Yeah.
And then my scavenging is, like, movement speed up, dodge distance up, automatically pick up items when they're near you, stuff like that. So I'm just running around the map scavenging for stuff, and you can change all that on the fly. Same thing with your weapon loadouts. This game is also, like, if you've heard the rumors, it is very heavy-handed with the tone of, what does it mean to be human?
Yes.
What actually is humanity?
Mm.
And why is it only relegated to people? Or what you'd just normally describe as a person.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a great calamity. Aliens came from outer space, and they dropped a bunch of robots on the Earth, and humans could not handle the robots.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is that the remaining population moved to the moon.
Oh.
So now they live on the moon, and they developed a Yora. It's like a, what's it called? It's like a whole thing. It's a like an organization, and what Yora does is that they build androids and robots and artificial intelligence to go back down to Earth to try and rid it of the machine menace.
Oh, okay.
But after so many years, the robots there have started to develop their AI in different ways. So there are still, like, the savage robots that are there for their sole purpose of wiping out humanity. But there's also, like, a village of pacifist robots. Mm. Who are like, no, we're tired of fighting. Fighting sucks. All my friends are dying. And, like, robots are developing friendships with other robots, right? And it's really weird. And then it starts to kind of dive in because you're an android yourself.
Yeah.
And it kind of dives into the thing of, like, what makes you any different from these quote-unquote people? Is it just because you don't bleed?
Yeah.
But, like, you have emotional attachments to other people as well, right? What makes you any different? And it's also the whole thing, we were talking about it last week off the air, but you said someone had discovered how to do teleportation.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Of like a microorganism.
Yeah.
Where what it does is that it deconstructs someone.
Yeah.
And then puts it in another spot.
Yeah.
And that's the question of, is that new you?
Yeah.
Or did you die and they made a copy, right?
Yeah.
It's the question of do you have a soul?
Yeah.
So in this game, when you want to fast travel, you go into a machine that deconstructs yourself, uploads your data to a server, reloads it down to the warp point, and does that,
damn,
right? So it plays with these questions. It's like, every time I fast travel, every time I have to go back to the moon and report to mission control, is that me the same me? Is my partner the same partner that I had in that moment?
Hmm.
Or are they a completely new person?
Hmm.
Right, and it starts playing with these kind of weird philosophical questions.
Mm-hmm.
So far in the first ending, it's just very heavy-handed and surface level stuff. But I have heard later on
it gets crazier
and deeper and kind of darker. Because Yoko Taro games are known for just being depressing.
Mm.
But I really enjoy it. It's super fun. There's a lot of video game references and homages in this game.
Oh.
So I found a vendor in a coliseum.
Yeah.
And he opens up with, what are you buying?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then when he's like, when you exit the shop, he's like, thanks, stranger.
Wow.
Right? And it's just straight Resident Evil 4.
Wow.
In the desert, there are certain robots where they're a giant, like, stack, like a totem pole.
Yeah.
Right? But if you, when you attack them, pieces of them start going off. So they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter.
Oh, like in Mario?
So they're like the Mario cactus
yeah.
from all the Mario games in the desert levels, huh. Right? So there's like a lot of really subtle nods where like if you've played video games for a long time,
yeah.
you're going to pick those things out and it's going to be more rewarding. But if you haven't, you're not alienated. It's just like, okay, yeah. there's this weird totem enemy. Like, I don't know what's happening over here.
Cool.
Right. Yeah. And it's open world. Mm. So there's a bunch of different places. You can fast travel to them, like I said. The only thing I think... this is like a design choice, but I don't necessarily agree with this design choice, is there's no autosave.
What?
Yeah. There's no... You have to manually save.
Oh.
If you... So say... Like, it's Persona.
Yeah.
Say you're grinding out for 2 hours, and you haven't yeah. saved, and some enemy just blindsides you and one-shots you.
Yeah.
You lost 2 hours of progress.
Yeah.
But it also combines this Dark Souls thing where when you die, your equipped chips are gone, but they're on your body. So oh. you can go back to your body, and if you can retrieve your body, you get those equipped chips back.
Oh.
But if you can't retrieve your body, they're gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So it kind of sucks, and you're getting resources at a steady enough clip to where if you do lose it, it's kind of a bummer, but it's nothing like devastating. But you can also like find other people's corpses and harvest temporary chip upgrades from them, or you can resurrect their corpse as a partner for a battle. There's a lot of weird mechanics that are all trying to work together where sometimes like the Dark Souls one I think is very forced. That one doesn't really work so seamlessly with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think the game's fantastic. I should have played this game sooner. It's really good.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Yeah. Games are expensive.
Yeah.
Video games are expensive.
Yeah. Did you hear you get all the trophies in this game?
Yeah. So that was the one thing I kind of wanted to mention, too, is you can buy trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just buy the platinum.
Yeah, you can. You can 100% just buy the platinum. So, yeah, there's a thing in this game where usually in the first Nier... It's been long enough. I'm not going to say what the ending is, but how to get the final ending.
Yeah.
After you've gotten three endings, the fourth ending is locked behind a 100% ticker in your game file.
Yeah.
So you have to get every weapon.
Yeah.
Level them up to max. Do every side quest. Get every collectible. Do every weird side job.
Yeah.
And only then will you be able to get the final Nier ending.
Yeah.
Whereas in this game, they said, you know what? Hey, you're a robot. Robots all about convenience.
Yeah.
You're just gonna buy these. So there's a store you can go to, and they cost an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah.
But you can just buy trophies. Like, you don't wanna like collect all the weapons. Buy that trophy.
Yep.
And it counts as a progress complete.
Yeah.
You don't wanna actually see the final ending and get the platinum. Buy the platinum. Who cares?
Yep.
Right, I think it's a pretty cool feature.
Yeah,
it does somewhat make those trophies meaningless. Right?
You mean like they weren't meaningless to begin
no!
with?
No. So that's another conversation. Maybe we'll have it after I'm finished talking about this. But yeah, like I think the very like the trophy on that is very rare instead of ultra rare.
Yes.
Like most platinums, and it's not an easy platinum to get, but it's because they have that store. So far, Ending A, I highly recommend it. Like Superhot, this game goes places.
Yeah, I've heard.
And it's kind of bonkers, so I'm really excited. I'm like halfway through my second playthrough. Cool. So this was a thing I was thinking about. So I was thinking about trading in my Xbox. You know me. I don't trade in shit. Right? But I'm thinking about it now, like, so the one thing is I have my PC.
Yes.
And all Microsoft first party games have crossplay.
Yes.
So if me and you at some point in time wanted to play Gears of War 4 Horde, yeah. I could buy it on my PC and play with right. you on your Xbox, right? Mm. So there's one factor keeping me from selling my Xbox. The first one is I can't find physical versions of these PC games, right?
You want physical versions of what?
of like Gears of War 4.
Why would you want that?
Or Dead Rising
on your PC. 3.
But I want a physical thing to own.
What?
Yeah. It's again, like I want that thing. Oh, okay. Because if there's, again, it's like, here's my doomsday scenario. Mm. If there's a time where Microsoft's like, we're out of games and also fuck servers.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get back that purchase content.
Okay.
Right? But if I have an Xbox and I have a disc, I can still install that.
Okay.
Right? To my Xbox, I can still play it. It's not gone because I purchased it. The second thing is, it's kind of like achievements.
What?
where I'm like, okay, like I could get the Steam version. It's super cheap, and I can still do crossplay, but it has Steam achievements. It doesn't have gamer score achievements.
What the fuck?
And in my head, I know it's super dumb.
It is.
It's super dumb.
The fact that you still care about those things, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like I'm at 5,000 trophies. I'm feeling really good.
Oh my gosh.
I just can't get it out. I can't stop. It's a sickness.
Wow.
I don't know what to do.
Wow. You can just delete your username and start again.
Oh!
I could do it for you. You've always wanted to get rid of Kill What I Can't Kill, right?
Yeah, I have. But I could just change my username instead.
Yeah, but don't you want a clean slate?
But all those Dead Rising achievements.
Oh, God.
See, I don't know. It's a problem.
It is.
I don't know.
This is what you think about?
This is what I think about. What, you don't think about it?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Sorry.
Because, I don't know, like, I also think about, like, the way retail works.
Yeah.
Where I recently found a copy of Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yeah.
And Dead Rising 3, the edition with all the DLC.
Sure.
Sealed.
Okay.
For $10.
Okay.
Because people need to move those off of shelves now,
yeah.
Right? Where when I go and look at Gears of War 4, or I look at an equivalent, Dead Rising 3 on the PC store, full price. And
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right? Like, digital games, A, don't go on sale. Right? And there's no real way of, like, well, they can do it. Like, they could have, like, a time graph and be like, hey, it's been X amount of months. Knock it down.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it down. But they don't, right? Mm. Like, I'm probably going to be, if I want to play Gears of War 4 on the PC, and I want to buy it from the Microsoft store, it's probably going to be $80 5 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to, like, I also don't want to support that kind of behavior.
Oh. You bought a PC.
I did buy a PC.
So you will.
Steam sale.
Wow.
So, yeah. I don't know. Video games are weird. Video game business is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's been my week. Playing video games, thinking about video games, thinking about the future of video games.
Maybe I should sell my Xbox.
Because what do you, like, what do you use it for?
Nothing.
There you go. It's got a better media player than PlayStation, but that only goes so far. Like, you have a laptop for that.
What? No. My laptop can't even play.
You don't can't do an adapter like something to HDMI?
Yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I bet if you sold your Xbox, you could easily afford an adapter.
I'm not trading my Xbox for an adapter.
I'm not saying a one-to-one trade. I'm saying in the trade, you get enough of something, of an asset.
Yeah, I guess so. Then I'll buy a Scorpio.
Of capital. Yeah. Okay, the Scorpio, though.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm thinking about.
God.
Do I trade in my PS4 to get that white PS4 Pro?
Oh.
Or do I just buy the PS4 Pro, eat that cost, and then keep my regular PS4 in a box?
Why?
Forever.
Why?
Because I can start collecting consoles.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
Listen, the store I go to is selling their Canadian Wiis for $20.
Oh, the red ones?
The red ones. Now, I don't need a Wii. I have a Wii.
Oh, but hey, that's low enough to where it's like, whatever.
But then that starts. That's the straw. The Canadian Wii that broke the camel's back.
No, you just buy one, and then you mount it on your wall.
Start collecting consoles.
Oh, okay. You do that. You do it.
Yeah, like, listen, there are a lot of colors of the N64.
Ooh, don't go down that road.
What if I wanted a clear orange?
Ooh.
Or a clear green?
Hmm.
or a full atomic purple complete in box.
Was that a launch color?
Yeah. It was just the controller, I think. I don't think it was the actual console.
Oh, okay.
What if I want that Pikachu N64 that came out?
Yeah, that one.
They all do the same thing. They play my games. So I don't know.
That's why video game collecting, I just don't get it sometimes.
I get video game collecting. I don't get video system collecting. Or video game system collecting. Okay. Like, if you have more than one of a GameCube,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Do you have more than one GameCube?
No, I have zero GameCubes. I have a Wii that plays GameCube games.
Oh, right.
I would like a GameCube.
Why?
No one I really want. I want the mini PS1.
Oh, yeah,
The PS Tiny.
Yeah, the PSONE.
Yeah, O-N-E.
Lowercase.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
Those things are cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always sad when the PS2 Slim wasn't just called PSTWO.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Or the PS3 Slim is just TRE.
Even the PS4 Slim now, it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Game collecting is weird.
Yeah.
Found Dino Crisis.
Okay.
It's a good game. On Dino Crisis 2,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that game is not survival horror anymore.
No, it's an action.
Yeah, it's an action game with combos and just murdering dinosaurs left and right.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Now I gotta find Dino Crisis 3.
Oh, that one's bad.
But it's in space.
No, that one's bad.
But it's dinosaurs in
space.
That
one's really bad, though.
Okay.
That one's bad.
But dinosaur space.
Yeah, I know you're thinking, like, that sounds awesome.
It sounds so good.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right, fine. Mm-mm. Maybe it's cheap enough.
Yeah. We'll see. Since we're talking about video games, we should get to the next point in the show. Kamen Rider XA.
Oh, that's video games, isn't it?
Yeah. Watched 3 episodes today.
Yeah.
Episodes 39, 40, and 41.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of blending in my mind together, but I believe 39...
The murder.
Yeah.
The murder of...
Fucking...
No. What was the title on our subs? It was Goodbye, Ore! It's like, oh, come on. Just translate it, you wieners. Like,
oh, TV Nihon.
God. True to their name. True to their name. This is Goodbye to Paradox.
Yeah, so basically what happens is Nico, the girl, gets infected by the Game Just virus.
Yeah, the ultra evil.
Yeah, and...
The one that... what's his face?
Graphite has.
Yeah.
And Kronos basically gives M the ultimatum. He says, listen, what you need to cure this is you gotta beat Chronicle.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you need all the pieces of the puzzle.
And you don't have them.
Yeah. The only one you need now is Paradoxes. If you kill them,
You get it. You cure.
And you can cure her.
Yep.
And M's like, well, I'm a fucking doctor. And everyone's like, no, Em, don't kill him, because then you can't become Hyper Muteki.
But he's like, listen,
yeah,
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. He's like, lives matter first.
Yeah, and so they go into a kind of like a deep emotional fight with Paradox.
Yeah, it gets really, like,
heavy.
Serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, Paradox has always been, he's been kind of like the Joker of the series, where he's like, I'm doing this stuff for fun. But when he's finally faced with death, he kind of breaks down.
He's freaking out.
Yeah, freaking out, and he breaks down, and he can't accept it.
Yeah.
He murders him.
Like, yeah.
He rider kicks him. Paradox tries to punch the rider kick.
Yeah.
And then as he, like, after the rider kick happens and whenever the dust is clear, he's dissolving. And as he's dissolving, M reaches to where his heart would be and crushes it with his hand.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Which then starts the next episode.
Yeah. Well, we should say there's also a cool part where after the fight, like, just before the fight's supposed to end, Paradox is like, nah. I love to fight another day. And he starts to mid-warp out.
Oh,
and X-Aid's like, no, you don't.
He grabbed him mid-warp.
Yeah. And he's just like, I'm going to kill you here and now.
Yeah, no, it's over.
Yeah.
I am eradicating this virus.
Yeah, and he does it, and you're just like, oh, boy.
It's that mode is real. Yeah. That mode is the realest.
Star mode's something else. Yeah, the next episode is... they all try to fight Kronos except for M because he can't
transform.
Yeah, and they get wrecked. Everyone gets wrecked. However, M is contemplating on a roof somewhere, and out of nowhere,
Poppy people popo.
Yeah, he's like, what? He confronts him and says, why did you murder him? Why? Why?
Hey, yeah. Did I murder him?
He's like, did I?
Did I murder him?
I was just teaching him a lesson.
And then he goes into
the Mighty Brothers.
Yeah, Mighty Brothers X.
Yeah.
And Paradox is back.
Yeah.
Because apparently when he put him in his fist, he stored the data.
Yeah.
So dumb.
He fucking held him in his fist. And then Paradox came back and he's like, why am I here? And he's like, because I wanted to teach you.
To value your life.
Yeah.
To know the true meaning of death.
Yeah. And so they go through this whole thing. He's like, I am you. You are me. We are
I
thou.
Am now.
Yeah.
Thou art I. You have discovered the power of the fool persona.
Yeah. You are now rank 10.
max social links.
And
Paradox will now die for you.
Yeah, Paradox is now your best friend.
which actually happens.
Yeah.
Because they do, what was that? They do like a fusion.
Yeah.
And they bro fist during...
Oh, yeah. Because the other riders are fighting Kronos, and Kronos just tears him apart. Yeah,
he's bringing
Rex on. But M-Ben shows up now with his new best bud, Paradox. And they fucking, like, let's do it in co-op.
Yeah, they bro-fist.
They bro-fist, and he just becomes him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they proceed to wreck Kronos.
And then Kronos goes full JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
So, you won't get this, but there is a character in Part 4.
Yeah.
Where he pretty much does what Kronos does.
Yeah.
Where he rewinds time.
Yeah.
And it's... Like, there are multiple instances now where I'm just like, this is just JoJo. This is just JoJo.
Yeah, so he, after he gets wrecked, he rewinds time to the point where...
They didn't have
Hyper Muteki. Yeah. And now everyone's aware that Kronos has the ability to just erase
undo
shit.
Yeah. But the thing was that they still had their memories, so they knew that they went back in time, and they knew that stuff was erased.
It's not that they go back in time, it's just he removes things that have been created from current events.
Like, he goes to a previous save, kind of? But yeah. Like a server save, not a player save.
Yes.
Right? Like, they roll back the server, not the player.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's where that episode ends.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that happens in that episode.
And then 41 happens, Paradox tries to convince Graphite, the last bugster, to, you know, be a good guy.
Yeah.
And Graphite's like,
you're
my bro, but I can't.
Listen.
Goodbye. Goodbye forever.
We're not bros anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, the bugster bros are gone.
Yeah. He's like, farewell.
Shin Dan Kuroda has the skill of God.
Yeah, he's just sitting there reminding you, like, remember, I'm still a god. And he has the most smug stance during this episode.
Where he's like, he's up, but he's also, like, kind of back. Like, he's leaning.
Yeah, it's insane.
This episode has a lot of kind of funny background character moments.
Yeah.
There's these past two episodes, the previous episode... had what's his face, cool Hawaiian shirt guy,
Kiria,
and he's in the back on a office chair, and he's like playing with the seat heights in the background, and like if you're not paying attention you don't notice it, but and in this one it's Dan, like Dan's got smug face, he's dying over and over again because he's working so hard on a new feature, and he's got that smug stance, which is just fantastic.
And then in the meantime, Brave and Snipe and Nico go to confront Graphite because they're like, well, if we're going to be Kronos, what we need is the power of Gamedius.
Yeah.
And we still need Graphite's key to become a Chronicle. So let's go beat him.
And Graphite's like, yeah, man.
He's like, let's do it.
I'm down to play.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because, like, also, what was it? Poppy and
Paradox
have come to the conclusion, like, a Bugster's sole purpose.
Yeah.
Is to not destroy the humans, but to play with them. Right?
Yeah.
They are game characters. Like, and when you destroy all the humans, who are you going to play the game with?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Right? So.
So he has an honorable fight.
To the death.
Yeah.
They fought through the night.
Yeah. Man, yeah, they did fight through
the night. They started at dusk.
Yeah.
Went till morning.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know... Kronos shows up and he's like, I can't let you kill him.
This is an illegal fight.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And then, so he hits the reset button.
Mm-hmm. But then these weird, like, chips appear over everybody's head.
Yeah. Which now, in hindsight, they're memory cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're memory cards. And it turns out Dan Crotum remade Hyperhuten Muteki, and he added the ability to save your game.
Yeah, to manipulate save states.
Yeah. So reset doesn't work.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And
they kick the shit out of Dan Crota. They beat Graphite.
Yep.
They get the thing and they summon.
They summon the game's last boss, Gamedius.
Yeah. They summon Goldar.
Yeah. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. So I wonder how long. So I'm saying that this fight is the final
fight. The Gamedius fight?
Yeah. Unless Dan Crota's dad pull some backhanded shit, or that new character,
the Mr. Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. I am the rival video game VR company.
Yeah.
CEO. Like, if he pulls some stuff out of his butt.
Yeah.
And it's just like, LOL, I'm the final boss. Yeah. I got both powers or something, right? I think this is the end, right? You said that it was rumored to be a shorter series than normal.
Yeah, like 44 episodes. Yeah.
So I can see that happening. I could see, like, this final fight being 2 episodes or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, they'll have, like, the final episode will be the, oh, how much we've, look at all the lessons we've learned and how we can live our lives now and how Bugster virus has been eradicated from the world. But yeah. Paradox is still inside me because we're friends and we're bros.
You don't think he's going to have to kill Paradox?
He's to vaccinate him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I think the ending is going to be M has to re-challenge Nico to Tekken 7.
Oh! But the thing is that
he can't use Paradox.
No, but like, so he beats him, right? Yeah. And then he's like, no, it was all me. But then turns around and the eyes glow red.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there'll be something where Paradox sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. But then, like, he shows up again, but only after he beats Nico in Tekken 7. Yeah. And the eyes glow red, and then it fades to black.
Yeah, so, like, Paradox is still around?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Sure. Into that. Tekken
7. It's a good Tekken. I've played it. It's really good.
Why are they playing Tekken 7?
Because Tekken's hot in Japan right now.
But they're, like, they're canonically in this game. They're playing Tekken 7 5 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So yeah, X-Aids is wrapping up. All the pieces are in place. We're going to go see some big fights happen.
Yeah. You mentioned that the new Kamen Rider has been announced.
Build? Yeah.
He's like an alchemist?
Looks like it. Scientist,
okay. You want to watch more?
I don't know, we'll see.
Because like what we did before, I remember, is that after Forze, we watched a bunch of Wizard.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, Wizard sucks.
Yeah.
We're not going to do Kamen Rider for this.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess we can see.
Yeah,
how this one goes
for sure. But. Sure, yeah, cool. Speaking of which, did you know there was a movie with Forze and Wizard?
No, what?
And there is one where in this timeline, because Wizard's after Forze's in college, but he doesn't have the belt anymore.
He's just awesome by himself.
He goes back in time.
Yes! Oh my god!
And he has to ask his high school self to borrow his belt.
Wait, did they film him when he was younger?
No.
Is it just him old looking like a high school student?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, right. You can tell it. So the way he's in college is because he has a gray suit. He doesn't have the black Bontra suit anymore.
Okay.
And he goes back in time and he's like, I need to borrow this.
He's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds I want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. But there you go.
Yeah, that's the end of the...
Yeah, next week is stuff.
Look forward to it. I heard cool things happen in the world all the time.
Yeah, no guarantees, but I'm sure we'll make something happen.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.